roll, baby, on MMA Junkie Radio with Gorgeous George and Goat. This is what we do and why we do it, baby. We rollin'!
Covering MMA from all over the world, this is the premier stop for all your combat sports needs. MMA Junkie Radio from the Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino in the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada. The lights are on and the mics are hot. It's time to get your MMA fix, junkies. Take it away, Big John.
Gorgeous George and Goes, are you ready? Junkie Nation, are you ready? Let's get it on.
What's going on, Junkie Nation? Gorgeous George and Goes reporting for duty here on a Thursday. Happy to be with you for the next hour. We got a fun show. We got to get to it quick. We're going to go over some of the latest news. Did you know RDA, Rafael Dos Anjos, is in town weighing in too? I guess he's the backup man for the main event at UFC 264, McGregor versus Poirier. Actually, it's Poirier versus McGregor. Greg Hardy pushing back at the Black Beast. They're not going to fight now, but I think something simmering. Just remember that. We talked about it in July. I bet you in 2022, these two will throw down. McGregor, by the way, says they're going to break the pay-per-view record, $2.4 million between him and, let me see, Khabib Nurmagomedov, 2018. That's the record. So Dana White was saying that they're trending high, but I didn't know it was going to break the pay-per-view record or even threaten it. I just figured if they got to $1.5 million, that's great. Two would be awesome. But, wow, they might break $2.4 million. Did you hear Nick Diaz and Robbie Lawler might scrap? Finally, I don't know how many times we've been mentioning this for the past decade, but it looks like they may lock horns in the fall. President Donald Trump, they still call him president, even though he's former. He'll always be known as president. He's going to be in attendance along with many other celebrities at UFC 264. I'm telling you, man, Vegas is going to be popping on Saturday night. Goz and I are also hosting a watch-along that night here on MMA Junkie. We also have Aljamain Sterling, the UFC Bantamweight champion, and Dean Thomas, MMA coach extraordinaire, also doing his thing on the commentating side. You know, the co-host of Dana White Looking for a Fight, and he also has a show down in South Florida on the ESPN Network. We'll talk to him about the X's and O's of the fight game that are coming up with these big fights this weekend. All right, folks, buckle up. It's MMA Junkie Radio on a Thursday, July 8th.
Dustin Poirier and Conor the Notorious McGregor will settle the score at UFC 264 on Saturday, July 10th, exclusively on ESPN+. After Conor McGregor defeated Poirier in 2014, Poirier evened the score in January, setting up the most highly anticipated rubber match in UFC history. UFC 264 is exclusively available to ESPN Plus subscribers for $69.99, or sign up to get UFC 264 and an ESPN Plus annual plan or $89.98. Visit ESPNplus.com/MMA Junkie.
Goes, let's blast through some of the news that we saw here in the last 24, 48 hours. What do you think of that rumor that RDA is in town? He's been spotted. He's cutting weight. And apparently, that's the backup for Poirier and Conor McGregor. Now, it's not a title fight situation because it's not a title fight. I think it's just insurance for the UFC that if either guy were to go down, well, we needed the fight to go. We needed a big fight to go forward, and they picked a solid name.
Yeah, I mean, it's this card is very top heavy, right, with the main event. So, yeah, for some reason, something were to happen where that doesn't happen, that fight doesn't go through. RDA is a great replacement because of his style. You know, he's so fun to watch, and he matches up well with both guys. There's a little bit of history with him and Conor as well. So if it does come down to that, I think a lot of us would be bummed out. But at the end of the day, you would have a quality matchup to watch. The question is just how much notice did they give RDA to do this? What kind of shape is he popping in? You know, is he just a dude that's going to pop in and maybe give you a round, or has he had maybe a month, 2 months to kind of work this in? So we'll see.
Yeah, you never really know with that backup situation, you know. And if you ask them, of course, it's the greatest camp ever. But I like it. I still feel like I prefer the route of just matching RDA versus someone. And if we have to take that fight apart to ensure the heavyweight bout, or sorry, the main event, then I'm okay with it, you know? But I'd rather them really have a camp, an honest camp. Best case scenario, most of the time, I'd say probably 90% of the time, everything is going to go unhitched and you have two great fights within the same division. I've always talked about that's a strategy that I don't know why they don't revisit more often. If you're going to have, we'll say like a title fight, you know, we'll say lightweight. Oliveira, this would be an anomaly because McGregor Poirier would still be the main event. But let's say the co-main event would be Oliveira versus, we'll say RDA. And then have Chandler fight Gaethje or something like that, you know. If it all lined up, that'd be awesome, dude. To know that the way things shake up, the pressure that the fighters will have on themselves to outperform each other and out-impress the champion who, if he retains, is going to say, you know, I really like the way Chandler looked, or Gaethje was a beast. I want to lock horns with that guy. It brings a big spotlight to the division. They've done it a few times, and I'm not saying all five, but they've done it a few times, and I think it's just tremendous. But this whole thing about one guy just weighs in and he gets paid, I'm happy for him. He got paid. Sucks that he had to do the weight cut, but he got paid to lose weight. But did he give you his best camp? If God forbid something happened to McGregor or Poirier between now and the fight and RDA slips in, are we seeing the best RDA? Probably not. You know, but
hey,
I guess it's better than nothing.
He doesn't have to make championship weight. You know, there's a lot of fighters that have to do that. And I know it's only 1 pound, but how many guys have missed by 1 pound, right? I mean, like, it really comes down to hell on those last couple pounds. So at least he doesn't have to do that. But let's just hope the fight stays intact. Everything's okay. And at the end of this whole scenario, we end up with Conor McGregor versus Dustin Poirier, the third fight. And we get it over with. You know, it's going to be a good scrap. I think somebody said it yesterday. When is Conor McGregor not, even when he loses, not involved in some sort of fun fight? And we know Dustin Poirier throughout his career, all he does is give us bangers and great fights. So I think it's just going to be really, really fun.
9:15 a.m. Pacific, 12:15 p.m. Eastern. Aljamain Sterling will join us here on the program. And yeah, goes, those guys always deliver, McGregor and Poirier. And I think that's why they are so beloved, and that's why they get paid the big bucks. There's a lot of things Conor McGregor does very well for the UFC, and that's why he's such a superstar. And one of them is that when they say fight, or, you know, whatever ref is in charge and whatever instruction or token phrase he says so that the fight commences, he walks out and he throws his power hand within 5 or 10 seconds. It is on. There's no feeling out process or nothing like that. And I think that's why the fans love it. You know, he talks shit from the minute they sign the agreement, the bout agreement. Oh, heck, even before the bout agreement, you know, all the way through, with the exception of UFC 257 versus Dustin Poirier, who's the nicest guy ever. But most of the time, it's just nonstop, you know, and fans love it, man. I love it. And he backs it up, win or lose. He does back it up and make it interesting. I wish more fighters would do that. But anyway, in other news, what do you think of Nick Diaz versus Robbie Lawler? Great to hear that Nick finally, you know, all these rumors of him coming back, finally we have something really tangible to hang our hat on, you know, and say, no, we got an opponent. They're looking at September, I believe. I think it's UFC 266. 265 is the one in August with Lewis and Gunn. 266 would be the one in September where Francis wanted to fight. It's September 25th, right between Goz and I, our birthdays. That's the one that they're looking at. Man, that must have fought 15 years ago.
Yeah, it seems like forever that not just that those two fought, that Nick Diaz fought. It just really feels like forever. And, you know, I'm not so sure that the same guy that we're used to seeing is going to come back. I mean, like, even in his last fight, you could tell maybe he's just not taking these things that serious. So it's one of those things where you're happy to hear his name. We hear it all the time. But I'll probably get more excited when we get closer to that because, you know, there are certain fighters that just find a way to screw things up. And unfortunately, Nick Diaz is very difficult to deal with, you know. And we got to just a normal fight. You got to worry about injuries, all that type of stuff. Now you got to add in the antics that Nick Diaz brings to the table. I have a feeling he's going to make it because he probably needs money at this point. But once he gets in the cage, just his skills alone, Robbie Lawler's skills, it's going to be a fun fight. And hopefully he gets that hunger back of wanting to fight, because I remember before he left, he was just saying it wasn't that much fun. He didn't really enjoy it. So hopefully that comes back and we'll see. But if you can get them both in the cage, it would be a fun matchup.
And now he doesn't have to worry about the hippie lettuce. That's gone. Both NSAC and USADA said basically, as long as you're not high during the fight, you're good to go, you know? So, yeah, I mean, have at it, Nick Diaz. You know, you can – I know a lot of it was anxiety-based. It wasn't performance-based, even if he believed in it. It was just the pressure of the fight mounting up and his awkward, you know, social skills, I guess, that he thinks he has or whatever. Because honestly, people love him. The press conferences, you know, he would just say, nah, I'm over it. He doesn't have to worry about that no more. You know, blaze up. I'll have just show up for the fight. And him and his boy Nate, just like Conor McGregor, you got to put him in that list of fighters that walk out there and they're ready to sling. So good to hear that he's, you know, ready to go. How about Greg Hardy finally pushing back on the Black Beast? Black Beast has always come at Greg Hardy for the not just allegations, he had a conviction way back. Where through an appeal process, I guess everything went away, but basically having to do with domestic battery, domestic assault, you know, whatever. It's called the different labels in different states. And so Derek has said in his lifetime, he experienced that in his family. And I'm trying to remember what was said on and off camera, so that's why I had to think about it for a second. But I remember he told us he's very sensitive to it because of how he experienced it growing up. And because of that, he has actually come at Greg Hardy pretty hard. Now, Greg Hardy was just coming through the ranks, honestly, just as a fighter, just starting off his career, Dana White Contender Series. But now he's known, and he's on this fight card on Saturday versus Tai Tuivasa. His skills have gotten better, too, and he's starting to push back. You know, he called Derek Lewis an ex-con. Derek Lewis has said that openly. He did do prison time, changed his life around, and but I can already see it goes, this one's going to start to build up pretty big, and it's going to be a big fight at some point so long as they both keep winning. Actually, with Derek, he's established he doesn't need to win his next three. He could go 1-2 if he wants to, and he's the Black Beast, for crying out loud. But Greg Hardy obviously would need to keep winning to get to that top three level that Derek resides at right now.
I don't know. I go back and forth on it because Greg Hardy – I don't want to say gets special treatment, but they definitely nudge him in certain directions, right? They help him out a little bit. So maybe that road isn't as far as it seems. But right now, I think Greg Hardy's, the way he's speaking as if they're on the same level, and they just aren't, you know? Black Beast is up here. He's somewhere around here. So things have to happen for them to meet, but I'm not so sure it's that much, especially when you create heat, right? I mean, that's what sells fights. So it's a banger of a fight. I just don't know when we'll see it. And I hope we see it while they're both still in their prime, you know. But Greg Hardy gets better with every fight. This is the second sport that he picked up. You know, he's still learning. And right. And Derek isn't like – Derek's still kind of green in a way too. Like, he's still learning things, adding things to his repertoire. So I think when it happens, they both hit so hard that anything can happen. But really, if you look at Derek Lewis's – I think he's gotten away from being the Black Beast and just, I mean, the dude has actually added some really good weapons. He has a formidable attack. I think he's a true mixed martial artist now.
If Derek Lewis keeps winning, it's going to be hard to make this fight before maybe even 2023, because he has Gone ahead of him here in a month or so. Then the winner unifies with Ngannou probably late this year. And then his first title defense would not be Greg Hardy. Greg Hardy would probably need to win another three fights. But Tuivasa is definitely a step up. So we'll see. But, you know, Lewis drops a fight. One thing Lewis loves to do is fight frequently. He loves to get paid. He almost doesn't care who the name is. And when it's personal, he does not mind putting them big paws on his opponent. So I think it's a lot closer than people think. But as long as Derek Lewis keeps winning, then it stretches out for at least 2 years. We're maybe 2 years away from that. We would need Hardy to keep mowing through all these names, you know, to eventually get a title shot, because that's where Derek Lewis would be. He'd be the interim, then the undisputed, and then he'd be an undisputed who wants to defend. I don't know, but I hope it happens sometime. I think it would be tremendous. McGregor and Poirier, can they break 2.4 million pay-per-view buys?
I don't think so.
Number two is McGregor versus Diaz at 1.65 million. So that's how special Khabib and Conor was. It shattered by 750,000 pay-per-views. So the next one down is 1.65 million. I think it can be that because in the ESPN era, we're seeing some big numbers. This is a trilogy. They're both exciting fighters. But 2.4? Oof, I don't know, man.
We're going to have to see how this press conference goes. Press conference and weigh-ins, these are like really valuable days where when you think about it, the NHL, that's done, right? That's one less thing to worry about. Yeah. You got some soccer going on and NBA, but really I think people will probably be starving for some kind of entertainment on the weekend. So if you can just get that clip, that ESPN clip that gets shown, you know, somebody shoving somebody or somebody getting in somebody's face, it might be enough to get people to want to buy it. So it's definitely a possibility. We'll know in the next couple of days here if that generates even more buzz. But right now I'm going to say no.
I think I'm with you. I think if they just break 2 million, that'll be tremendous. But here's one way you can add to it. Dustin Poirier and Conor the Notorious McGregor will settle the score at UFC 264 on Saturday, July 10th, exclusively on ESPN+. After Conor McGregor defeated Poirier in 2014, Poirier evened the score in January, setting up the most highly anticipated rubber match in UFC history. UFC 264 is exclusively available to ESPN+ subscribers for $69.99 or sign up now to get UFC 264 and an ESPN Plus annual plan for $89.98. You see the savings there? You get the pay-per-view. And then for another $20, you get the whole year's worth of ESPN Plus, which I'm telling you is money in the bank. It's not just good for combat sports. It's good for all sports. Been watching a lot of soccer there myself. Visit ESPNPlus.com/MMA Junkie. Folks, seriously, if you're going to order it, use this link right here. ESPNPlus.com/MMA Junkie. We'll get one of these from our bosses. It makes us feel good. ESPNPlus.com/MMA Junkie. Goes one other bit of news here before we get to Aljamain Sterling, who will be joining us very quickly. A former president will be in attendance along with some other big names. Dave Chappelle is going to be there. Odell Beckham Jr. is going to be there. Kardashian sister, one of them. I think Courtney, who's dating Travis Barker from Blink 182, they're going to be there. I've seen a lot. Machine Gun Kelly and Megan Fox, I think is her name. They're going to be there. But they say that they're lining up for this one. And that's considering Garth Brooks is in town. There's ADGs, man, over at Allegiant Stadium on Saturday night. It's a stadium show. So that's how popping the strip's going to be on Saturday. $100,000, 100,000 people between two events.
That's the thing that mixed martial arts has always needed. You know, you have like your regulars in MMA, and then you have your regulars in boxing, but you would get random celebrities that just, it was the place to be, you know, a Tyson fight, a Sugar Ray Leonard fight, whatever. You wanted to be seen amongst that crowd. And I think a Conor McGregor fight is something that pulls that out of people. You see it a lot with like Canelo Alvarez fights and stuff like that. You just want to be seen there. And I think some of this this crowd is like that. So that's cool, man. You know, our sport's come a long way. So I'm happy that that's actually happening.
Yeah. You know, Brad Tavares plans on being at both events. He's actually fighting at UFC 264. And then he's going to the Garth Brooks concert. But technically, not only is he going to both events, he's actually participating in one. But at the end of the day, goes, unless he's got his camera phone out, he's going to be at the Garth Brooks concert, but not watching Poirier McGregor. That's about the time Garth will probably be really into his show.
Mm-hmm. But Brad will be there with his cowboy hat and his boots, I hope. And, man, I hope he sends this video because I'm going to die when I see that.
Yeah. Is the champ ready to go? Looks like he's sinking in there with us. Can you tell?
Yeah, it looks like I think he's ready to go.
Okay. All right. So Aljamain Sterling is the UFC Bantam champion. He's going to join us. Let us set the stage up for you. We'll be right back.
Is that there, champ?
I don't know. Champ, yours?
How's it going?
Good. What? You can turn that video on?
Is my video not showing?
No, we just
let me see.
We thought you were doing like some Blue Man Group or something thing in the background.
Mike, camera.
You need to get that rid of that Samsung and get with the times or flip phone.
Oh, there he is.
There he is.
You know, I had my Epoch camera set up, but I don't have that phone on me right now. So it's like one of my streaming.
Oh, nice. Okay. Streaming app thing.
You're one of the few cats that has a basement in a Vegas home? That's pretty cool that you just went downstairs and it looks like you're in a basement or something.
It's just the first floor. I don't really call it a basement, but kind of, sort of.
Yeah.
I haven't been here in a while, so I'm trying to figure out how the house works again.
So tell us, give us an update on, give us an injury report on your health. That's the most important thing.
I mean, everything's good so far. They're saying I should be cleared like towards the end of October to like fight. So I get clearance to start training pretty much next week. And then from there, I could start a training camp and get ready for a 5-round fight.
Okay. Now, Dana White was with one of our colleagues and he intimated to her that October was when you could fight. Could you start the camp sometime in August in preparation for a fight in October in Abu Dhabi? I think October 30th is being thrown around.
Yeah, I mean, I could. I saw that he was saying October 30th in Abu Dhabi. To be 100% honest with you, I love the date. I don't love the location, and mainly because of the odd hours that we would have to fight at. I just had one of my worst performances. Maybe not the worst, but I had some hiccups in terms of how I felt on fight day because I didn't realize how much later in the day I fought and how much how little I actually ate, 2 pancakes and 2 eggs, and then wondering why I was feeling so nauseous and felt like shit. You know, so I clearly have some things I need to figure out and get, you know, dialed in a little bit better. So it would have been nice to fight in New York or Vegas again, kind of do it over. But October 30th, I'm good with that. It's going to be exactly 8 weeks from September 4th. So I'm planning to get my training actually started now. And like I said, I can't spar and everything yet. I get cleared next week. But even then, I'm not going to push the envelope and start taking shots to the head, getting my head snapped back and wrestling, getting dumped on the head. I'm okay with that for now. I'll leave that hard training for the last 6-7 weeks of training camp.
Got it. Well, hey, it makes sense. You're from New York, and in November, apparently the UFC is going to visit New York, They have pretty much every year, with the exception of the pandemic year. And then they close out in Vegas, which has become a second home. So I can see why that definitely seems more of an attractive location for you. But you are leaving a slight opening that if you have to go to Abu Dhabi, you will, or is that going to be like an emphatic no from your end?
Well, I think you guys know how it goes with telling Dana White no. So I don't think there's much negotiation there to be 100. If I'm being 100% honest and transparent, I don't think they're going to give me an opportunity to negotiate that. And I mean, I'm not looking to get in a pissing war with Dana all over again, you know. So that's what they want. That's what they want. That's the location they want. Like I said, the date's good. It's just the location for me is not fun. I know Petey Yan's been training out at American Top Team, so I don't even know what he's going to do, if he's going to move his whole camp back to Thailand or however that's going to work for him. But I think we both got a lot of things we got to figure out. But if we can have some – if they can overturn the stupid medical clearance so I can fight in New York, this wouldn't even be an issue right now. I'd be MSG, my first time fighting as a pro. What, there's an amateur, why can't I fight there as a pro? Like, come on, New York, man, get your shit together, you know. Let's make some money. That's kind of the way I'm looking at it. But we'll see if they ever make that change.
Yeah, I hear you, man. You know, it seems like the commissions are starting to catch up a little bit. Recently, the Nevada State Athletic Commission, along with USADA, are saying, all right, blaze up. Let's do it. You know, THC, no longer a problem. But that's something we all kind of figured out 10 years ago, 5 years ago, if I'm even being, you know, strict about it. So I have heard that stuff in boxing and MMA. New York has very, very tough clearances. And, you know, I think they need to have that looked at as well.
Yeah, they said they were. I called them a couple times in a past couple years, and they said they would look into it. And then the last time I called, they said, yeah, we're not changing anything. I was like, all right, well, thanks for like the wild goose chase. But it is what it is, man. I'm going to show up. I'm going to fight. And I can't wait to just shut these guys up. You know what blows my mind is that these guys are still going on about this since March 6th. And I'm just like, dude, what would you have done if your family and your friends that flew miles, spent hundreds of dollars, maybe even a couple thousand to come see you, hang out with you for what's supposed to be the biggest moment of your life? It goes that way. And they're trying to cheer you up and they're putting the belt on you and telling you to take pictures with it for everybody. I don't get it. Like, maybe next time I'll start fighting them back while I'm concussed and tell them, hey, I can't do that. It's not honorable.
You know, it's very obvious, you know, right now you guys aren't getting along, but we've seen some of the biggest rivals in boxing and even mixed martial arts. Eventually, years down the road, they have a beer, a meal together. Has he just crossed the line that can never come back? Or do you see maybe further down the line, maybe one day you guys can have a beer and laugh about this whole thing?
Honestly, my honest assessment, I don't know him like that well, but from what I see, man, I feel like he's kind of a shitty person. And that's just my honest opinion. And you don't go from apologizing and then start to say, oh, the guy is faking and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, bro, if faking, you threw the knee. You know the rules. You're the champ. And I'm faking. I was like, clearly I'm compromised coming into the fight. Whatever, you threw the knee. Long story short, man, I don't know. I just feel like if – I don't know. We'll see. Maybe I don't keep grudges, but when someone's a shitty person, I just don't want to be around you, you know? So I'm all about good energy, good vibrations. And at the end of the day, man, we're going to have a fight. This is what we both love to do. And I can't wait to just go out there, settle the score. And from there, we'll figure it out. You know, if we're meant to be friends or if we're meant to be cordial, then we'll do that. But at the end of the day, I got no respect for this guy right now. The guy talks so much shit for something that he did, and I get the backlash for it, which is the most bizarre thing I've ever seen in my life. And it is what it is. Like I said, he was starting to come on really, really strong, and I was clearly fading. That's no secret. I know that. I'm no dummy. But at the end of the day, you had a layup to win, and you fucked that up. So that's on him, not on me. And we're going to make it right in October 30th, it looks like.
Aljo, your mindset. What is the correct mindset here when you look at this fight, this rematch? Is this round five a continuation of the last fight, or do you have to look at this as a complete different entity?
I think it's a completely different fight. If you look at his – I stalk all my opponents. So if you look at Petey Yan's Instagram right now, this guy is going ham as if he's in the middle of a training camp right now. As in, when I say the middle, that means things are picking up and you're going crazy. You're really trying to make sure you're in shape. And that's how he's training right now. And you can say, oh, no, he's a warrior. He just trains like that. Shut the fuck up. No one trains that fucking hard unless they know what they're dealing with that's going to be in front of them. And when you don't have a fight, you don't have a date yet, you're not going to be going crazy and running your body into the ground, because that's the stupidest thing you could do in terms of longevity. So I think he knows what he felt in there. I know what I felt in there. And I like to think that I'm ahead on the scorecards in my mind. And I really do think this is going to be a very, very good coming out party for me, and just going to just remind the world. It's not like I don't know what I'm capable of. I think it's just going to remind the world that, huh, maybe he didn't get here by accident. I completely forgot that he won five fights before this, and he actually fought all top contenders. He didn't get the Dana White privilege and get blessed to fight a guy on a losing streak for a world title. What are we talking about? What are we talking about? This is a different fight. But make no mistake about it, man. I know what I need to do out there, and I'm going to make sure I get it done.
Hey, Aljo, man, it seems like to you it kind of feels good to get this off your back. I don't know that I've seen you do too much media. And honestly, I didn't really want to bring it up too much because it was in March, you know. But I guess this is simmering with you, you know. And I think it's going to lead to a great, great rematch between the two of you guys. But, hey, man, you're the champ. You could take a pick with whoever, honestly. And you've been in the game for a while. I think the social media is probably just You know, you're just gonna have to like leave that to the side, or you've been really good about laughing along with them in the past. You know, the trolls or whatever you want to call it, or I don't know. But, man, you've had an incredible career, and you deserve to walk out of the cage with that belt under the rules that everybody walks in with, and what has to happen. There wasn't anything that was done that was illegal or anything like that. So continue to hold your head up high.
Oh, 100%, man. I worked very hard to get to this position, and no one can ever take that away from me. And I'm not saying he didn't work hard, but, man, you got gifted a shot when I fought the number four guy and I was ranked number two. And you beat the best level competition you beat was Jimmy Rivera, and I beat him, lost no rounds. He lost a round to him. So it's like, what are we – I know you can't do MMA math, but I know what I'm capable of. I know what I accomplished. And at the end of the day, no one could take that away from me. And I wouldn't say the guys are getting to me in terms of, like, the social media, because I don't mind banter. But I do think that it gets to a point where I have to question and wonder if, like, do people really think this way? Or, like, is this really, like, how far the extent of their knowledge goes in terms of, like, understanding and observing, like, being able to analyze what you're looking at, you know? And that's where I have to scratch my head and wonder, like, yeah, I'm dealing with absolute, like, crazy people. And these people really just don't know any better. So that's the only thing. Other than that, man, I'm just going to have fun with it. And I think it's just going to build the fight even more. And I just can't wait for the showdown, because this is going to be – I think this is going to be one of those fights we both look back at, and the rivalry from whatever. We both were on this collision course, and then we never collided until we got to the title fight. And I think it's going to make for a great fight.
Well, two things here. You've always come back from adversity, and I remember the Caraway loss stung, but you came back strong after that. Same thing with Marias. So we're anticipating a better Aljo and a better Peter Yan. And I think those fans need to back off, because you've kept it pretty real. I got to give you credit. You know, just in this interview alone, you told us, hey, all he needed to do was lay it up, you know, and
it was right
it's
there.
Never over till it's over. Just ask Jairzinho versus Overeem, just ask Black Beast versus Volkov. So it's never over until it's over. But yeah, you know, you kept the real in terms of how the fight was going. I think everyone's got to respect that. And, you know, we'll see. No, for us, for the people that enjoy the banter and the heat, you know, it will make for a bigger fight. So, cha-ching, man, look at it that way.
Yeah, well, I wish those Russian guys would have to actually pay for pay-per-view, but I don't think they pay for pay-per-view over there. Motherfuckers, they just run their mouth. They don't have to pay for shit, you know? So I wish there was some way we could get some type of compensation for all their clown emojis, but maybe $1 per clown emoji that you leave on my page.
Hey, what happened to the chain? You downgrading a little bit, or is that the morning chain and then the evening chain, the thicker one comes out in PM?
I got to get the other one. Honestly, it faded a little bit, so I got to get a new one. Some people actually think it's a real chain. I'm like, nah, I put my money into houses, man. Not chains and flashy cars. But, you know, that's the difference between myself and a lot of other people.
Yeah, no, I was just playing along, but I had a feeling that it wasn't a real pain either. How many homes do you own now? I mean, I know you are you still even – does the champ even have time to show a home, sell a home? Is that on the side now?
Yeah, nah, I pass that all off to everybody else in my team. But for the most part, I mean, I try to do what I can. If it's friends and I'm home in New York, I'll try my best to show them the places. Like, one of my friends is looking for a commercial spot, and I really don't have the time to help them. And it's just a rental. If it was a sale, that would be like – I could do that, but this one's just a rental, so it's just a 1 month payment, so it's not like it's gonna really make or break the bank for me. So if he could find someone else that could really dedicate the time, that's cool. You know, I want to make sure he's getting the right look and the right support so he can find the right place for him and his business. But I own three houses now. I'm in the process of renovating one right now, my mom's basement and the kitchen. So we're doing a lot of work and just taking advantage of this hot market right now and making sure we could capitalize on the rise in how people are outbidding by like $50,000, $60,000, $70,000, $80,000, which is insane. You know, it's like you can't even get a house if you want. Like, houses aren't even staying on the market longer than a couple of weeks. So if you don't know about real estate, now's the perfect time to get in. And that's not a sale for me. Like, just ask any one of your friends or realtors that you do know, because if you got money laying around, and you can get into a house, maybe not buy right now. This is definitely a seller's market. But if you could do like the rental thing, I still house hack. I got friends and teammates that I live with. And here in Vegas, it's just pretty much a fighter house and for my fiance and I.
All right, there you go. Hey, last question. The bantamweight division, it is popping. I keep telling everybody it's at the top of my list in terms of favorite divisions because it's so deep. All the way from you at the top, you know, going down. And even back 5, 10 years ago, I used to have a lot of love for what Bibiana Fernandez was doing at one or what Adontis and Warren were doing at Bellator. You know, I just saw a lot of talent across the board, not just the UFC, in a lot of the divisions, but of course the UFC houses most of them now. But what? How do you look down at the landscape of the division and assess overall, I guess, the 135ers? Where do you think they match up now with some of those other ones? Actually, let me say this one last thing. The reason I push this hard is because I know there's a lot of love for heavyweights to cash big checks, and they should. Traditionally in combat sports, that's been a thing. But I've always pointed out to people that that changed in the 80s when the Four Kings came along, Leonard, Duran, Hagler, and Hearns. And then we got this push towards Julio Cesar Chavez and Mike Mayweather and Pacquiao and De La Hoya. You know, you're talking about 130 to 147 in boxing, and they cash big checks. That's what I want for you guys.
Yeah, it's fascinating. I think even with, like, the Logan Paul thing and Jake Paul, like, they might get a lot of flack from some of the fighters, but if you're paying attention, you understand what they're doing, and they're bringing a lot of eyes, a lot of attention. And they're showing that there is money to be made for everyone. And why everyone isn't getting it, I don't know numbers. But if those guys are doing those type of numbers, I don't know. I think the model needs to be revisited a little bit, you know. If you pay me more, I'm going to want to fight more. You know what I mean? I want to get out of bed more to make that check. That's just the way I think. Some people might be comfortable. I got my ass whooped. I probably don't want to get back out and do that right now. I'm good for now. Me, nah, man. I want to take up everything that I could get right now and clean it up. But as for the bantamweight landscape, I think it's super competitive right now. Outside of the top 15, even probably in that top 20, maybe even 25, there's a lot of depth. Like, there's a lot of good guys. You see this guy, like Timur Valiyev, who just beat Ryony Barcelos, who was ranked 15th at a point. You got that kid obviously O'Malley, who's not even ranked. You got Chito Vera. You got all these good guys. You got that kid, Adrian Yanez, who's got the sickest hands. He reminds me of a Jorge Masvidal with the way he throws his punches and his stance and kind of like pop, 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 how light he is with his hands and his combination, how quick his combinations come off. There's just a lot of good guys that I got to make sure I keep my eyes out for. Who's the one guy that just fought? Davy Grant, even though he lost to Chito Vera, he knocked out three guys in a row after a super long layoff. That guy, Jonathan Martinez, there's just so much good guys, man. And I got to make sure I'm paying attention to all these guys, because if I don't, that's when these guys come up and the young, hungry lions take your spot. And they slay the king, and I can't get slayed.
Kyler Phillips, Dvalishvili, Rob Font, all those other guys that have put in some time, Asantal, Moraes, the list goes on and on, man. It is a sick division, and you blew it because you gave such a great answer. I got to sneak in one more. Apologies to superstar agent Oren Hodak, who booked this. I told him 15, up to 25 minutes. Apologies. But give us a quick breakdown of McGregor and Poirier. This is what you do on the podcast that you have every week. So give us a little taste here on Junkie Radio coming from a champion. How does he see the main event for UFC 264 going down?
All right, so we all know Dustin Poirier gave his assessment that he thinks Conor's going to now try to come out throwing calf kicks, so he's been working on checking him. I think it's a very smart analysis, and that's why I love about Poirier. He's not looking at every fight as the same. He's grown so much as a fighter, understanding that each fight is different. Oh, what the hell's going on over there? Oh, my vacuum is doing something crazy over there in the pool. But other than that, I think Poirier is right. You can't buy heart. I do think Conor's taking this fight because he wants to prove to not only himself but to the world that he still got it and he can still compete with the best of the best. And he knows if he wins, he's more than likely going to get inserted in there for that title shot, because that's just what the UFC does for Conor McGregor. And I'm not saying they're wrong for that. He draws a lot of attention. He's a high-profile fighter. He's earned his keep already. And he just needs that marquee win to get him back in that spot. I think Conor's good with the southpaw. He can't box the whole time. He can't be super heavy on that lead leg like he was last time and get that calf chewed up. I do think he's going to make the adjustments. But he's been out of the game so long, I don't know if it would be enough to take on a guy who's like fully indulged into sport like Dustin Poirier. I'm not saying Conor can't win. He's always got to punch his chance, and we've seen him drop guys over and over again. I hope I'm not drinking the Kool-Aid thinking that he could do that for this one. But he's hurt Poirier in the first one, and in that last one they had. I think he'll hurt him again, but if he wins, he has to do it early. If not, that's Poirier all day long. He like thrives in the heat of the battle. Like the gorier it gets, the more bloody it gets, he does better. I don't want to fight like that, but more power to him, you know?
Great stuff from the champ there. Check out his podcast, the Weekly Scraps podcast. And if you want to meet the champ tonight, he'll be at PT's Ranch 6 to 7:30 p.m. Here in Las Vegas. So check it out. Hey, Aljo, thanks for the time. We really appreciate it. Sorry we kept you a couple extra than what we agreed to, but you the man always.
Thanks for having me, fellas.
All right, take care. See you. All right, there he goes. The UFC Bantamweight Champion, Aljamain Sterling. I loved his raw honesty at the very beginning, goes, and that should go a long way with the fans that are trying to get under his skin. Look, if it's mental warfare, all right, cool, but you don't have to DM somebody 100 times, you know, or 10 right. times to get your point across. Throw your zinger out there. All these guys and gals have thick skin, and some of them even appreciate it. I think there really is something to Jimmy Kimmel's mean tweets when he has the pro basketball players or the celebs read them. It's not like that's their first time. Sometimes it is, but they get it. You know, that's the world we live in. And, you know, sometimes you can get someone's attention with a zinger versus like, good morning. Hope your day goes well. I mean, you just scroll through that one. But anyway, that fight's going to be sick when it does happen. Sterling and Jan's going to have that nice little narrative built in. And, you know, even if Jan were to win, I think we're looking at a trilogy at some point because they would technically be 1-1. If Sterling wins, then he puts that to the side and he continues on with that deep, deep division at 135.
I think it depends on how he would win, right? But you're right. I mean, those trolls, like if it takes 100 messages to get your point across, then is the opinion even valid, you know, at that point, like to even listen to it? I don't know. But he has a good sense of humor with the whole thing, and I'm glad that he talks about it. But yeah, when that fight comes around, I mean, all this buildup that's been happening on social media between the two of them, I think they're going to cash out a little bit, but I hope it's not in Abu Dhabi. I hope it is in New York.
Yeah. Oh, he might have trouble getting cleared there, but in December, they come back to Vegas. So that'd be pretty cool. But he discussed names. I discussed names, and look at the ones we left out. Aldo, Edgar, Cruz, Garbrandt, Dillashaw, all former champions, some of them in that division. That's how deep 135 is in the UFC. So pay attention to that division, folks. It's really probably the deepest division from 1 to 20. All right, give us 10 seconds. We're going to set things up with Dean Thomas, former MMA fighter, now MMA coach, probably a boxing coach for the next few months. And he's also part of Dana White, looking for a fight, part of the trio with Dana White and Matt Serra. And then he's also doing some work with SiriusXM and ESPN in South Florida. So the man wears a lot of hats. So join us here. Be right back.
Hi, this is Goz from MMA Junkie Radio. The final chapter in the rivalry between Dustin Poirier and Conor McGregor will be written on Saturday, July 10th at UFC 264. UFC 264 is exclusively available to ESPN Plus subscribers for $69.99. Visit ESPNplus.com/MMAJunkie.
There he is, De Niro. Dean Thomas, how are you?
What's up, boys? How's life? Can you guys hear me okay?
We can hear you perfect.
Okay,
good. How you doing?
I'm good, man. I'm good.
How do you juggle so much? You got ESPN and down in South Florida, SiriusXM. Dana White probably hollers at you and says, we got to, you know, film a few weeks, get on that private jet. And then, of course, you're coaching boxers now, MMA fighters. Man, that's a lot of hats to wear.
I know, man. Well, you know what it is, man? First off, I need an assistant. So if there's anybody out there who wants to be my assistant, I need an assistant. But I mean, it's all, everything I do is kind of related. I'm just talking about fights. You know, I'm having a good time. I'm having fun. So being able to juggle all this stuff, man, is like I'm always just prepared because I'm just being myself. So it's easy.
Got it. All right. Well, let's start with what you're showing off right now to us, and that's a Tyron Woodley t-shirt. He's got a big fight coming up against Jake Paul. How's that going along? Have you guys even started the nitty-gritty, or is it just, hey, get that weight down, go run before we really start tightening up the hands?
Well, to be honest with you, man, like, I'm not really a part of his camp for this. You know, he's been doing his thing with Mayweather, and he's been in South Florida with some guys down there training. But he's getting sharp, man. I've been keeping tabs on him, and he's getting sharp. But, you know, for this type of fight, like, I don't really need to be there. You know what I'm saying? Like, he needs to get with boxing people and have that boxing mentality, because that's really what this fight comes down to. Can Tyron Woodley lace up them gloves and be a boxer? So, you know, we talked about it, though, and, you know, everything is good. You know, I'm hoping that I can go at least go to the fight or whatever. But either way, man, I got faith in my boy in this one. And I know the world is counting on him, and I don't expect him to disappoint.
Do you think that's the right strategy? You know, because I'd like to see some sort of an MMA fighter appear in some way. And by that, I'm actually presenting the fact that I'd like for Tyron to be a little dirty. And if he gets warned, then he gets warned. But I don't know. I don't, you know, not to say that he's facing a world-class boxer. You know, he's not. He's facing somebody that's been in the sport for 2 years, they say. But what would you prefer? Do you think he needs to get a little bit of, you know, a little dirty, lock up them arms, yank a shoulder, something?
Well, he can. You know, Tyron can get dirty. But what people don't realize is that Tyron can box too. And it's hard to really kind of say that and for people to believe it because of what you've seen in his fights. Because especially in his recent fights, I mean, he hasn't shown a lot of boxing. Just kind of, you know, he hasn't really shown up at all. But when you talk about, like, some of his earlier fights, all you've seen is that big right hand. But what people don't realize is that he loves to box. I think he liked boxing more than MMA, actually, because that was the one thing that was never a problem getting him to do in camp. You know, and, you know, wrestling is hard. No one likes to do that. No one likes to run. No one likes to do anything. But boxing is something that Tyron has always loved. He never had a problem doing that. And I think this is his calling, to be honest with you. And I think that he can actually show people that he can really box. I mean, everything, jab, left hook. I mean, he's got it all, man. He doesn't just have a right hand.
Well, Coach, I do want to say that even though he lost his last couple, he really did throw more. He had more output, and I really enjoyed, you know, it's tough to tell that to a boxer who, sorry, an MMA fighter who lost. But I got to say that I sometimes I think he's a little too hard on himself. I really enjoyed the early part of the Burns fight because the output, the old Tyron Woodley, did come out in some of those fights. But that said, he's getting a little older. Now he has this going on with boxing. But what do you think is the future of Tyron in MMA?
I don't know. I don't, you know what? Like, it's hard to say. Like, I don't know if he's going to return to MMA, you know, especially now that he's doing this boxing match. I truly believe that he was more so destined to box than do MMA. I really think that he really prefers boxing over MMA. And the fact that he's getting this big payday and this high-profile fight, I believe that that's his calling. And I believe that he's going to ride with that. And he's going to get this win. He's going to get a rematch, get another win. And then I can see him doing more boxing matches against, you know, different guys, you know, different, you know, some older guys or maybe some other celebrities. I can see him doing that. But I don't really see him coming back. You know, and this is just me. Like, I haven't talked to him about this. This is just my personal opinion. But I can't see him coming back to try to make another run in MMA. It just doesn't make sense.
Gotcha. All right. Well, he definitely has iced his fair share of opponents, for sure. We know that power in them hands, and you know him better than we do. Hey, let's talk about another one of your guys. I know you're not officially with American Top Team, you know, like in the capacity that you were in the past, but you shared, probably spilled a lot of blood, sweat, and tears with this guy, and that's Dustin Poirier. He's in that big fight versus Conor McGregor this Saturday. I don't know if you knew, but UFC 264 is on Saturday.
Oh, my God. It's on Saturday.
Yeah. What do you think of that fight? Can you break it down? I know you can keep it objective, even though Poirier's, you know, same team. But
Oh, yeah, for sure. I can just certainly keep it objective. You know, the thing is, it really, to me, this really is going to be determined by how Conor comes out, how he approaches the fight. Now, when you look at the two fighters, in my opinion, Connor is probably the more talented in terms of skill. Like, he's just, he's a talented, coordinated individual. His timing is impeccable. Like, he's just really good at what he does. But, and Dustin, but Dustin is an absolute dog. He's probably one of the grittiest, grimiest fighters in the game. I mean, he's someone to look up to in terms of fighting like with this type of style. And that's not to say that he's not skilled. He's very skilled. But in terms of priority of when you look at his attributes, I think his grit and his grind is what really, really sets him apart. So we know what Dustin's going to bring to the table. That's the type of fighter he is. He brings that grit, that grind, that heart. But Connor don't have that, you know, and a lot of people may confuse that because Connor's so good at what he does. He's really good and he's so talented, but Connor don't have that. So to me, I think of this fight as like this. If Connor comes out and he doesn't put Dustin away, or he if he doesn't even win the first round, there's absolutely no way he's going to win this fight. Just because he's not the comeback type fighter. He's not that type of kid. He's the type of guy that has to be the hammer, and he has to always rely on leading the dance. If somebody else is leading, he can't come back. So he's got to get off early. He's got to start strong. He's got to get some good hits in, and he can't take a lot of punishment. He can't allow himself to go, whoa, Dustin's better than I thought. Because the moment he thinks that, he's going to lose his fight. So in my opinion, it's going to come down to that. Who can impose their will? To me, I do see it hard for Connor to be able to come out and have any semblance of grit. Because think about it, fellas. This guy is the richest, the highest paid athlete of last year. How do you see your name on the Forbes list in the highest spot and then still be like, yeah, man, I want to train hard? I don't see it. I've never seen that before, but you never know. But in my opinion, Dustin wins this fight. I think he does it, gets it done within three. I think he puts Connor away. I think they stop it. I don't think Connor's going to quit, but I think they're going to stop it.
Dean, there was such a big gap between fight number one and fight number two. Now there's a smaller gap here. Who does that benefit? And what are the advantages and disadvantages of this fight happening so quickly?
Well, I mean, when you think about fight number one and number two, there were so many differences in that fight. You know, that was, you know, that was at 145. And we all know that Dustin didn't have his best fights at 145. We know that Connor had his best fights at 145. But now they're different. They're older. So I think now they're probably at the weight they should be and in their prime. So I think that kind of neutralizes everything now, the fact that they're older and they're probably in their appropriate weights. But I think the fact that Dustin just won that last one just a few months ago favors him. I think the momentum is in his favor. I think the more confidence is going to be in his favor. I mean, Connor got put to sleep, and he didn't just like lose a decision. He got put to sleep. And when he was getting hit on the fence, like you saw in his face a bit of fear when he was getting hit. Like there was something about his face where he looked afraid. And when he went down, he was out. He was out cold. So, you know, there's no way he can have those memories and go into this fight fully confident. Like, there's always going to be a piece of him thinking about, man, this guy knocked me out. He's capable of knocking me out. So I think going into this fight, not being able, you know, not having that much time separated from that, those guys are still very similar to what they were. And let's face it, too. We haven't even seen what Dustin's original game plan was going to be in that last fight because he started throwing them kicks on a whim. I talked to him about that. He said, man, I heard him with that kick, so I just kept going back to it. So that wasn't even his original plan. So whatever his original plan is, he'll be able to utilize that. But we do know that he can adapt. We don't know if Connor's going to be able to adapt. So I think that this short turnaround favors Dustin.
The MMA just has, and just combat sports in general, brings so much emotion to the table. How much will that press conference today tell us? Will it paint any type of story of how, in which direction this fight could go?
No, you know, because I don't even know why we're going to have one. We could just have any random Connor press conference because we know what's going to happen in the press conference. Connor's going to talk a lot of trash. He's going to try to get under Dustin's skin. I don't believe Dustin will allow it to happen. I think Dustin's like, you know what? I'm not falling for them tricks anymore. I saw what he did to me last time. And that's another thing, too. When they fought the first time, no one knew how good Connor was. No one knew how talented he was. So people kind of looked past him. They just thought he was a big mouth. So no one really knew. And Dustin was kind of the guinea pig that found that out. Because prior to that, he had beat Marcus Brimage. And they were just like, but Marcus isn't very good anyway. When he beat Dustin, that's when people started to pay attention. But now everyone knows how good he is. So I don't think that that's going to be a factor. And I don't think that the press conference is going to be a factor because we know that Conor's going to win the press conference. Conor's very good at talking. Dustin, you know, he says what he has to say, but I think he's going to remain calm and just go, you know what? I know what this guy brings to the table. He's a big mouth, but he's very good. I respect him for that. But I'm going to let him say what he's going to say, and I'm going to show up on Saturday night and put him away.
Coach, we see in other sports just how significant a home field advantage is, right? Usually, not all the time, but a lot of times the home team wins. Before the pandemic, Conor McGregor fans would travel in drones, right, all over. We don't know how many are going to show up. But when they do, is there something to that energy that they bring as a fighter? Could you ever feel almost like a home field advantage? And does it get in your head at all?
Yeah, you can. But it also depends on the fighter because some fighters don't like the home field advantage. They feel the pressure from it. Like the more introverted type of fighters feel more pressure from the home team. They would prefer to be the away team. I think Conor prefers to be the home team. I think he feels energized by that, which is why I think he only fought Dustin at the in the last time in Abu Dhabi when they allowed fans in there. They allowed about 2,000 fans in there, and I think he did that because he needed that energy. He couldn't fight him in the Apex where there was no one there, and he had to hear the breathing and the silence, but he needed the energy of the fans. So no matter where Conor fights, he's always going to have the home field advantage because these Irish dudes show up in drones. I mean, it'd be black dudes with Irish flags on. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I'm telling you, man, these Irish dudes show up in drones and support Conor McGregor. And that's good for him. I think he needs that. And he's going to have a home field advantage here regardless of whether it's in the States.
I think the first time we interviewed you, we probably had an introduction like MMA fighter, Dean Thomas. It probably took George a minute to get through your intro now with all the hats that you hold. Throughout that whole process, that whole journey, was there ever a significant moment that you passed on that could have taken you in a completely different direction in your life?
You know, I talk about this all the time, is that losing to BJ Penn was probably the best thing that ever happened to me because it let me know that fighting wasn't the only thing I can do. And it wasn't the most, you know, it was just, it's one fight. So, and I lost that fight and it put things into perspective for me that there are many different directions I can take in life. Because if I had won that fight, you know, I might be where BJ's at right now. Our career paths took a different trajectory. Like he went up, I went kind of down. And then now it kind of flipped back around because I was able to, you know, to ride that wave and come back. But I think that the BJ fight, losing to BJ, said, you know what? Fighting ain't the most important thing in the world. It's important, but it's not the most important thing in the world. And there's many things that you can do in order to capitalize and have a livelihood. And that's really what did it for me, is losing to BJ. And every so often, I think back to that and go, man, I'm so glad I got knocked out by BJ, because right now I probably would have been still trying to be this hungry fighter, you know, coming out of retirement or doing bare knuckle or something like that. And that's the last thing I'm thinking about ever doing.
You know, you want to have a little bit of fun?
I always want to have fun.
All right. If you had to guess, what's the headline of this interview? We were kind of joking about that before the interview. Take a guess.
My guess? Dean Thomas thanks BJ Penn for a successful career?
Maybe. Right, that's up to the writer.
I'm just kidding. I have no idea. I don't know if I said anything really – really worthy. I'm trying to think of something to say worthy so that you guys can have a good headline and be like, you know.
I think it'll be going back to Woodley was, I don't know if he said born to box, but he's going to take the boxing or something like that. I think it'll be that. But I think there'll be multiple recaps, honestly, because that was really good insight hearing you talk about that fight with BJ Penn. But I did want to add to that, Dean. So you part of the era of maybe after the pioneers, but like that second wave, you know. So maybe not UFC 1993 or, you know, multiple fights for one night or whatever. But still, the money hadn't gotten to you guys yet. And then, you know, you took to coaching and game planning. And now you're, like I say, we hear you on Sirius XM, ESPN in South Florida, Dana White looking for a fight. Was there ever a point where you're like, MMA paid off for me, like, not just financially, but like I made this a career and I'm glad I did?
Yeah. You know what? And I think about that every day, and I'm so blessed because, you know, when I got into MMA, when I started doing this in 1995, no one knew that it would be where it is today. And I really threw everything I had into this. And especially like in the early 2000s, you know, when I just really like between 2000 and 2005, where I really just put everything I had into MMA and it made it work. And I just, and I made it work. And somehow, you know, with the help of like the UFC and like everybody involved in it and, you know, just everybody, you guys, you know what I'm saying? Like, you guys have been around since then. So like with everybody's involvement, we just grew this sport. And for me to still be involved is such a blessing. Like for me to have taken that chance on something that was unknown, on something that had never been done before, and to have taken that chance is amazing for me. And I still think about that. And I still count my blessings every day that I have a career and a livelihood on something that's never been done before. You know, I went to Extreme Couture yesterday and was teaching the guys, and like, and I'm looking around the room and I'm like, you know, half of these people in here probably don't know me. The other half probably just think I'm the guy from Dana White looking for a fight, but they don't realize that I was the first fighter to ever fight in Las Vegas. The very first fight that UFC threw. Yes, I fought Fabiano Iha. And I just, and like you said, I've done everything. So the fact that I'm still here and still be and still able to do things with, like I said, without having to lace up the gloves or do bare knuckle to stay relevant, it's just a blessing for me, man. I'm so happy that I'm still able to be here.
I think the only thing I can hold against you is that you didn't go up there and shove Dana White off that cliff. That's probably my only disappointment. But hey,
yeah,
one more. Go
ahead. Yeah, well, you know, the thing is, I can't swim. And basically what would have happened is Dana's people would have threw me in and they would have left me there. So like that's why I didn't do it. Dana got people around him at all times, man, that will do something to you.
I'm 51 years old and I was yelling at the screen going, jump for crying out loud. All right, you know, you egged us on, you teased us, but get it over with, you know, because it's not like the Prez doesn't have balls. He's done some pretty ballsy things, but it didn't look that high to me. He still should have jumped, you know.
He should have jumped. He should have jumped, man. You should have heard the little kids out there on the beach. They were like, oh, you're such a bleep. You're a bleep. And I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah. All right, last one, Coach. We'd be remiss if we didn't ask you because you prepped for both guys. But how about a quick one on Burns and Stephen Thompson? How do you see this one playing out?
Man, this is such an interesting fight. You know, I think Burns, you know, after watching Burns fight and spending some time around him, I do believe that he might be the most all-around talented guy in their welterweight division. And I think he's even more talented than Usman. I don't know if he can beat Usman because what Usman does so well is a very difficult thing to stop. But I think Burns is more talented than anybody else in the division. And with that being said, Wonderboy also has that skill set that's very hard to get past. And that's being able to control distance the way he does. And that makes it hard for him to fight. He does two – Wonderboy does two things well, is he controls distance well, and he allows you to stay in the fight and want to strike with him. For whatever reason, he allows you to feel as though you can strike with him. And then before you know it, the time has run out and you lost a decision. Or you got – or somehow he caught you and knocked you out. He's very difficult in that way. So – I think this fight comes down to, can Burns get close enough to him and land a shot? If Burns can get close enough to him and land a shot, he has a chance. If Burns can get close enough to him and take him down, he's definitely going to win because the disparity in skill level between their ground games is going to be drastic, and you'll see it right away if it does go to the ground. But Wonderboy is so good at just staying away from you, touching you, stand away, and thinking that you have a chance. And then before you know it, you're either knocked out or the round is over and you're like, damn, what happened? So this is a very tough fight to call. You know, every day I juggle with it and I go, you know, Burns is going to catch him somewhere. And then I go, there's no way he's going to be able to get past that, you know, that range, man, because Wonderboy is so sharp with that range. So it's a difficult fight, man. I really don't know how to call it.
Excellent analysis by one of the top coaches in MMA, former fighter Dean Thomas. Catch him on Josh Cohen and the Home Team on ESPN, West Palm. I've heard him on SiriusXM Fight Nation as well. And, of course, Dana White looking for a fight along with Matt Serra and Dana White. Dean, it's great to have you on the show. Great analysis. We love having you on. But most of all, man, thank you for your contribution to this sport. You've done so much wearing different hats. You've done them all very well. So we really appreciate you doing that. That's why this sport keeps growing and growing, because of guys like you.
No. It's growing because of guys like you, because the media, people don't think that the media does their job. You guys are the media and you guys keep us alive. So thank you very much. And I would just want to say, people, make sure y'all check out the Dean Diaries, where I was spent some time with Gilbert Burns and his family. You can watch his two sons beat each other up. That was a good episode.
Nice. All right, Dean. Thank you again, right, man.
I appreciate you guys. Peace.
See ya. Take care. Wow, great energy from that guy. How goes?
Yeah, he's so much fun. I was kind of bullshitting him with before the interview started, or before the show started today, and he's just so much fun, man. He hasn't changed one bit since day one. I mean,
yeah.
All I could think of during that interview was how much less gray hair we had the first time we interviewed him. Now we all look old.
I'm glad he hung in there and didn't give up on MMA, because his mind really takes to the sport, not just being one of the top lightweights when the division was first established, but also going towards coaching and guiding younger fighters. And now, of course, he's more like behind the mic. But people should really, really listen to him, you know. And I thought he gave some great advice, and I heard there was great feedback over at Extreme Couture, whether it's a technique or just him talking to you about the game, you know. We all make mistakes. We try and learn from it, and then we just try and get better. So young fighters, if you didn't know who he was, hopefully you can look him up and look and check out his road, you know, because it's been a bumpy one, you know, but that's where you learn.
Word.
All right, so a couple things here. Dustin Poirier and Conor, the Notorious McGregor, will settle the score at UFC 264 on Saturday, July 10th, exclusively on ESPN+. After McGregor defeated Poirier in 2014, Poirier evened the score in January, setting up the most highly anticipated rubber match in UFC history. UFC 264 is exclusively available on ESPN Plus subscribers for $69.99, or you can sign up now and get UFC 264 and an ESPN Plus annual plan for $89.98. Financially, that's what makes sense, all right? An extra $20 to get the ESPN Plus for a whole year. It's loaded, too, not just with combat sports, soccer, football, plenty of other sports on there, original programming. It's awesome. Visit ESPNPlus.com/MMAJunkie. That's ESPNPLUS.com/MMAJunkie. Seriously, folks, especially a lot of Junkie Nation, you're all going to order this pay-per-view. Use that link, please, ESPNPlus.com/MMAJunkie. It'll help out the Junkie Radio Show. It'll give some love to the Junkie Radio Show. And for those of you that are or aren't ordering it, Goes in there hosting UFC 264. Watch along here on MMA Junkie, powered by Panda. It's going to be fun. We got an interactive chat room. You can chat with us and chat with other hardcore MMA fans. We have a Twitter feed and the live odds, courtesy of BetMGM. We'll tell you what we're playing. You can share with us what you're playing, where it's legal, obviously. And let's just have some fun on Saturday night. It's going to be a fun fight night at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. There is one fight that Goz and I might duck in even just a few minutes earlier, but count on at least 7 fights, 2 from the prelims and 5 from the main card, including Dustin Poirier versus Conor McGregor 3 this Saturday, UFC 264 watch along. If you see us tweet about it or post on Facebook, please retweet, please reshare, please add to your stories on Instagram and whatever the hell you do on TikTok or anything else, do that too. We would really, really greatly appreciate it. We want to make it a big party on Saturday night. All right, Goz, any final words here before we close up?
No, man, you actually summed it up pretty well. I mean, it's the way we do watch-alongs now is kind of how we do this live feed. If you're listening on the podcast, there's video to this. You can watch the show. You can watch the interviews. It's the same way. When you see the link on MMAJunkie.com, you just click it for the story, you know, and you click it, and we pop up in there. And so, like George said, the odds are there. There's a Twitter feed in there. And there's a chat room, and you can chat with other hardcores that are in there on fight night, and you know, even during the regular show, like right now. But you hit the nail on the head.
All right, folks, you can catch more of Goz and I on Spinning Backlick, Rankings Report, Legend to Legend, and of course the interviews that we do aside from the show over at youtube.com/MMAJunkieVideo. The interviews are there in full, because a lot of times on our website you'll catch a recap and a small portion of the interview that relates to the recap. And we just want to remind you that there's full interviews like what you heard here with Aljamain Sterling and Dean Thomas, covered a lot. And thanks again to Oren Hodak, superstar MMA agent, for lining up that interview with Aljo. It's been a while since we talked to him. Shout out to Ghost for lining up the Dean Thomas interview. Man, I'm fired up, Ghost. I can't wait. I'm going to share another embedded on my social media at MMA Junkie George. I'm sure Ghost will be doing the same at the Ghost, and the radio show is at MMA Junkie Radio. And we're just going to keep trudging along and pushing along until Saturday night's UFC 264 event, where we'll be hosting that watch along. Hey, and if you're in Vegas, the press conference is today at 5 p.m. The doors open at 4. It's free and open to the public. And the ceremonial weigh-ins is tomorrow at 4 p.m. Doors open at 3. Everything going down at the T-Mobile. Go out there, soak it up. Get there a little early. Carry your drinks with you. Stay hydrated because it's over 110 degrees all week. All right. And get there early so that you're not running. You know, you can get in your Ubers or take your cabs or take some of these trams that exist in the city and stay cool. You know, but basically you don't have to be a sweaty bastard by the time you get into the team. We'll take your time, plan early, and get ahead. That's why I'm giving you these times. Again, press conference today with Dana White, Dustin Poirier, and Conor McGregor, 5 p.m. local at the T-Mobile Arena. Doors open at 4. Tomorrow, ceremonial weigh-ins, 4 p.m. Doors open at 3. All the fighters will weigh in. And, of course, if you're not in Vegas and you just want to check it all out here at MMA Junkie at our YouTube channel, youtube.com/MMA Junkie Video. Hit the subscribe button, for crying out loud. That way it all just comes to you and I don't have to keep giving you these reminders. All right, folks, we're out of here. Enjoy your week, your weekend, and we'll see you all on Monday to recap UFC 264. What up? We'll see you all at the watch along on Saturday. Go out there and be a champion.